Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Thanks to our guests today, Matt Bowen, Jack Silverstein, and Carmen Vitale. It was great to see Abu walking through the hallways here. Lots, so many people here. Rod Zimmerman was walking around the halls.
I don't know who that is.
Rod Zimmerman.
He used to be the big boss.
He was the big cluster chief.
He was
of CBS
he was Kevin
Radio
5 years ago.
I should have said hi. What's he doing now?
He's retired. He's retired. He lives in Naples, and he's playing golf.
And usually, that if you lovely. Saw him, it meant you were fired.
Yeah, hey, you're fired. How's it going? You're fired.
Yeah. The Turk.
Yeah, basically.
More than that.
We've already had two references in a 30-second amount of time here, okay?
Layla Rahimi is
putting the stop on the references, all right?
Is this Abu? Is Abu one in the same with
Jack
that
Silverton.
Guy? Oh, okay. Oh, Jack is Abu.
Yeah.
Oh, I
that
didn't know
his,
that.
His nickname at five-star camp, right?
North Star.
Camp.
Okay. When he got to North Star, the movie Aladdin had just come out. And this was after my time, but I had friends of mine that were still there. Mm. And he bore a striking resemblance to Aladdin's pet monkey.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know. I'm definitely
you're right to feel that way.
What?
Abu or Apu?
Abu.
Okay.
North Star people don't even know his first name.
Yes, they do.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they do now. But that was a thing.
I've never seen Jack in person. Love his work though.
Great work. And some insight into the politics of the Hall of Fame voting changes that were fascinating.
I heard that.
Thanks to Ray Diaz. Thanks to who helped out today?
Tyler
Farengol and whoever was back in the content hive. I saw Matt Anaya earlier. Maybe Connor O'Donnell. Maybe
Connor was working
Jenna
today.
Donaldson.
Yeah.
Somebody.
I think
working.
Jenna's out of town.
Oh, she better.
Judging by the gram.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
I think she headed out of town.
Living her
Good
best life.
Her.
So the
as it should be.
Spiegel and Holmes show will be manned by Holmes and Heron today. Anthony, you and I will be working together tomorrow.
We will. Yes.
So there are a bunch of leftover segments here today. I know
partner reversal tomorrow.
Host swap.
Yep. Host okay. swap.
So you'll be in the afternoon tomorrow.
Yes,
I'll be at Trace.
At Trace.
And nobody wants me at an actual public venue.
Dan, tell the truth. You don't want to be there.
But it's right near me. It would be a home game.
That's true. You could walk.
No, here's what's going to happen. If Dan goes, he'll just keep walking by Rally House singing the song. And then he'll just be walking in circles on an endless loop singing Rally House.
We couldn't help it.
And
yesterday
then Dan will not have done a show because he will have realized he spent the last 4 hours just singing Rally House, walking by it over and over
again. Well, if Trace had a song, I would sing it.
The earworm has grabbed
just, they
him.
Just have, they just have to give me a song. Yeah. I'm easy. I'll sing it for him.
Trace House.
Well,
Trace.
Because my family Trace has Armstrong. Been, they just, yeah. they've wanted
it's
me out. It's been 5 days, 5 days of me hanging around the house singing holiday songs wrong on purpose and profanely. And it's made my family very unhappy. And they're very Shocking. Happy I'm at work today.
It's like a bazooka of dad jokes.
But, a bazooka
yeah, but,
of dad
jokes. But more gross than dad jokes. They're not just puns. It just everything kind of gets disgusting in way, every time there's a Christmas song on or a Hanukkah song, and I make up my own words to it, and then they throw things at me.
I just am laughing at the roller coaster you were on where you were so excited after Matt Bowen had you running through the tunnel.
Yep.
And then you ran through the tunnel right into the Albert Breer article, and then it was like a bullseye, and you just hit the ground.
There was an open manhole, and I fell in it, and I was dead. That's great. But at least I timed it's my like death better than Linda Lavin did.
It's like an anvil out of nowhere hit you.
Was it an Acme anvil?
Of course.
Only the best. Yeah.
Is there any other kind?
Only the best.
Valid question. Otherwise,
has anybody seen an anvil in real life?
Oh, I don't think I have.
Yes.
Where?
Where
did you see this anvil?
It was when I worked at the blacksmith.
That would do it.
It was a field trip. Or maybe, was it the Ren Fair?
Rally House?
It was somewhere
else. They got everything else at Rally House.
When I was a kid,
it was
an old-fashioned blacksmith.
Yeah?
And yeah, it was on a field trip of some kind. I don't remember exactly where we were, but they were doing old-fashioned.
Colonial Williamsburg.
It wasn't.
Okay.
Dan, have you seen the movie Finding Forrester?
I don't think so.
You need to watch it.
You're the man now, dog.
Because you were making, like, you did one of the scenes from Finding Forrester today when you were talking about Coleridge.
What?
Yeah.
And I got my mnemonic, by the way. If the C comes before the T, it's the composer. C for composer. Samuel Coleridge Taylor is the composer. Samuel Taylor Coleridge wrote Rime of the Ancient Mariner.
Ah. So, I fear thee, ancient mariner. Be calm. Thy wedding guest.
Listen to this man.
I was just saying there were some albatrosses that were being worn.
Yeah, so Finding Forrester is about this relationship between this young ghetto youth and and Sean Connery, who's this recluse of a writer.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. one of the pivotal scenes is F. Murray Abraham, right? Like F. Murray Abraham is this professor that doesn't want the young youth from the ghetto to grow and to learn and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the kids in the class, he puts a quote up on the wall and he's like, does anyone know who this quote is from? And he calls on the kid who is Coleridge's like nephew or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And he doesn't get it. So the young youth says, just say your name. And then they go into a whole thing of, you would actually like that particular scene. I don't know if you'd like the movie, but I think you'd like that particular scene.
I'll check that out. Okay. So he was because Coleridge Taylor was of mixed descent, but came up as like the same. He was making music very similar to that of like Scott Joplin and stuff that sounded very modern American during the ragtime era, but he was British. So.
Texter, you're right. Spoiler alert. You're right.
Yeah, that's it.
What year do we think Finding Forrester came out? Maybe like 02?
I was going to say 04, 05 maybe.
Yeah.
Somewhere
like it
around
was
there.
Like kind of the end of Sean Connery still doing stuff, but he was still doing stuff.
It's actually kind of a beautiful movie.
I liked it.
It was 2000?
I like Finding Forrester. Yeah.
We didn't have a Finding Forrester. We had a Finding Dory reference, a Finding Nemo reference, but not a Finding Forrester reference.
But it's all about literature. Mm-hmm. So
cool.
I think that would enjoy it. You know,
did you see the Holdovers?
Holdovers?
That was the one for which Giamatti got nominated year.
Where he's at the
professor
at the school and everyone.
And she won supporting.
I didn't see it. Oh, put it on the list.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
My wife eventually got me around to it. She saw it without me, I think, in the theater initially, and then I finally on some streaming app. Finally ended up seeing it. I enjoyed
Octavia
it. I mean, I like
Spencer?
Paul Giamatti and everything. Anyway.
No, it's not. It's she's the one who won the Academy Award, for God's sake.
Yeah.
What's her name? She's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant in it. The movie I now have to see that's also on my list, and enough people now have mentioned this to me. I'm not making this up.
Oh, Divine Joy Randolph.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So enough people have recommended this movie to me, and I'm going to watch it. Have you heard of a movie called Hundreds of Beavers?
No.
Have anybody heard of this movie?
No.
Okay. And apparently it was made for $150,000.
Ray looks confused.
It's supposed to be hysterically funny.
Yeah.
It was made on an absolute shoestring budget, and it is about a guy trying to fend off hundreds of beavers. And it's supposed to be everybody's saying yes, 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 it's that good. So I've committed myself to see it at some
He's
point.
He's under attack from beavers?
I guess. I don't want to know too much about it.
That's fair. I'm
but
like
apparently,
that too.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He's besieged by hundreds of beavers while attempting to woo a young lady with whom he is smitten.
I have like these young producers in my orbit with everybody who produces at SiriusXM is in there like early to mid 20s. So none of them have seen movies basically from the previous century at any point. What? So I was trying to describe the birds to them at one point, because like when I'm doing the show, I'm looking out my back window now in suburban life. And a lot of times there's a bunch of birds out there. And I was trying to describe how great Hitchcock was, what a big deal he was, that he made this film, The Birds. And I couldn't effectively describe The Birds to them as to why it was a horror movie. Because the plot does not sound scary in modern terms at all.
Well, there's also like this whole idea of horror now is attached to gore, but gore and horror are two different genres.
It's more
terror.
Suspense, thriller.
Thriller terror is different, right. I think, than the concept of horror. And it also...
Speaking of suspense, Iowa's got another touchdown somehow.
Texter, you're correct. Finding Forrester is Dan. Yes. It's why I mentioned that Dan should watch this movie.
Okay, fine.
Band with a Scottish accent.
But remember,
Scottish?
Yeah. Remember that The Birds 2...
he gets mad when he says Ireland because he does it on purpose and he's like, Scotland.
Yeah, but then what happened to The Untouchables when he's supposed to be playing an Irishman?
Well, that's a different movie.
He's Sean Connery.
But they just gloss over it.
Like that. That's a flag. Yeah.
Sean Connery's not going to do like a Chicago accent. He's not going to do a Southern accent. He's not going to do a Polish accent. Sean Connery's going to be Sean Connery.
He tried a little bit in Hunt for Red October. He did a little something other than just his usual.
Well, like the first, 90 seconds of him on camera is him actually speaking in some form of Russian, I guess. And then they very quickly transition to just him being Sean Connery.
It's probably Russian with a thick Scottish accent.
Right,
though.
Yeah.
But
yes. Kind of like Tom Cruise. What's the Tom Cruise movie where he's...
Eyes Wide Shut.
Mission Impossible 45.
No. That last one was amazing, and it was ahead.
The one where
it was ahead of its time, and
Last Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked it.
Fast and the Furious 17.
No,
not that one either.
There's one
more.
One left.
He's playing. Tom Cruise is playing a German, and it's
shout out to Luda.
I'm forgetting the name of the movie, but he's playing a German, but he's kind of a double agent type. And the early
Valkyrie.
Yes, that one. Yes, and so the first essentially 90 seconds of Valkyrie is Tom Cruise speaking in German, and then very quickly they go, okay, well, you're like, Tom Cruise, so just
we did
speak
this.
English.
Now let's put this.
We've earned our stripes, and
all
now
right,
we're
nice
going to speak
German.
In English.
Good job, you're fine.
Right, yeah.
Where's he on your list? Is Tom Cruise also?
Oh, big time movie star.
Okay,
big time movie star. Okay. I do think he shows more acting range than Brad Pitt, but
yeah, he does.
Yeah, but definitely more movie star.
Okay, although Brad Pitt was really funny in Burn After Reading.
He's been hilarious in a couple of movies, especially early Pitt.
He's really funny.
Early Pitt was the goofball, and he could do a bunch of that.
I mean, Pitt's pretty good.
He's got the Academy Award.
I don't have any issue with him.
Legends
I just don't think he's
make
in
sense because of him.
I don't think he's an incredible thespian, but yes, I love his movies.
The Snatch to me, like that performance in Snatch,
that was a great movie.
Is amazing, and then you juxtapose that with Fight Club and like.
Ad Astra is really. I mean, how about
28 days?
You thought
later,
he was a lot better in Ad Astra than I did.
How about the one for which he
thought he
won
was
the Academy Award?
War Z. I mean,
he didn't he win the Oscar for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
If he did, he shouldn't have.
I'm pretty sure he's an Oscar winner.
What did he do in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? He just walked around looking at everybody.
That's not true.
He just walked around looking at Bruce Lee. Yeah, he beats up Bruce Lee, that's not a reason to not win the Oscar.
He throws the can of dog food at the Manson woman.
Which was great. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
This guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's
all I want to know is what happened like a really between nice you guy. And Brad Pitt.
He seems like a really nice guy.
I feel like that's what's going on
I've
here.
Done some charitable work with his organization. Like, I'm all for Brad Pitt, but to call him a great actor, I just don't find that to be accurate at all. I feel like I even said, like, Keanu Reeves was a mediocre actor, and that got pushed back. Like, seriously? Keanu? There's a reason they don't give Keanu Reeves monologues in movies. He says, whoa.
He had a few lines in the first, John Wick?
Matrix.
He didn't have many of them. Like, Arnold Schwarzenegger has had more monologues in movies than Keanu Reeves has.
Did you see Always Be My Maybe?
I did.
He was outstanding.
He was hilarious as Keanu Reeves. No, I mean, you know, it's not like his performance in those scenes was what made it hilarious, though. It was kind of him as the straight man Keanu Reeves and the comedic actors surrounding him providing the hilarity. So it was really well done, but it wasn't because Keanu was being incredible in those moments.
I thought he was being incredible.
I like Keanu. I do. I like these people. They're just not great actors.
Why do you hate Luol Deng?
So Big Ant brought up something. We're going to spend some time like analyzing this later on in the show, but he brought up something that was interesting about tonight, how the schedule comes out and we're all like, oh, okay, yeah, that should totally be the Sunday night game next week, the NFC North championship game. The bid for the number one seed in the NFC is on the line next Sunday night in Detroit between Detroit and Minnesota. But now what? Because tonight kind of doesn't matter.
Oh, by the
way,
Detroit already has a national TV game that we need to prepare
for. Is Teddy Bridgewater going to play quarterback tonight?
I don't know.
You got Bulls, I mean, Hornets, man.
I'm not sure if, like, is Dan Campbell.
That'll be over by the time.
Oh, that's true. It's a 6 o'clock start, right?
Yeah. We're off the air at 5:45.
Yeah, I don't know. If I feel like it makes tonight awkward. I feel like tonight is an awkward game because Detroit has the number one seed and the bye week on the line next week, but they got a game tonight that still has to be played between now and next week's bye week being on the line for the number one seed. So if you just fast forward to next week, there's a lot to anticipate, but you have this hurdle, this stumbling block that does not at all impact their postseason hopes. And it's got to be played. It's going to happen.
Play a few series then. Have your starters play a few series, treat it like it's a glorified preseason game.
And that might be the approach, especially because so many guys are on IR for Detroit already. Yeah. Like, you've already lost David Montgomery. Can you risk Jahmyr Gibbs?
No.
But then it's not college football, so you don't have 120 guys available to just roll out there. You got your 45-man dress list. So there's going to be key players who have to play significant snaps in this game.
Well, there's also going
to
be
to keep them going.
There's going to be some tired-ass special teamers, too.
Mm.
There are going to be guys playing every teams and every snap.
Yeah, they really are. They really are.
Yep.
Tonight's an awkward national TV game for the NFL. So you got everyone, and rightfully so, has loved the Detroit Lions storyline and what they've done, what they've continued to fight through, and everything that's on the line next week could be impacted by what we see tonight if they come out of here banged up again.
I have a friend who's in the fantasy championship.
Ooh.
And the only thing standing between them and the fantasy championship is Jameson Williams.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They could win if the Lions say, you know what, we're just going to shut everyone down.
Mm-hmm.
They could win the fantasy championship because of NBC.
This will be an interesting sort of look into, we've all observed Dan Campbell really closely over the last couple of years and enjoyed so much of what he's done. I think this will be an interesting look into kind of Dan Campbell's soul as a head coach. You know, like if this was Tony Dungy, we know exactly what the Indianapolis Colts would be doing with Tony Dungy coaching them tonight. Everybody who could plausibly sit would be sitting in this game. I don't know if Dan Campbell's wired like that.
Who was backup for all those years?
Jim Sorgi.
There it is, from Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
And then there was
Purdue stretch at one point also. Who's the Purdue quarterback who I think was a Colts backup for a little while,
Drew Brees.
Not Billy Dickin.
No, not that one. But, yeah, there was definitely a lot of Jim Sorgi. And I'm trying to – I'll look up, Purdue.
One of those Joe Tiller, like, guys with massive stats who wasn't that good.
Stats who just got to back up Peyton for a little while. But, yeah, there was definitely a lot of Sorgi. I'm blanking on one of the other producers.
Jim Sorgi was the guy in college, or was it in the pros, who suffered a concussion, and they were going to put him back in the game, and his dad ran down to the field and took his helmet and pulled him out.
Ooh, okay. His dad was the eye in the sky. Before there was an eye in the sky,
his dad
was.
One of the great moments in sports parenting. One of the absolute Hall of Fame moments in sports parenting.
Curtis Painter.
Under a drive.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He was there. He was doing that. So tonight would be a Curtis Painter game if he was playing for Tony Dungy. Tonight, I don't know. I don't know how Campbell's going to handle it. It intrigues me, though.
It's going to be
interesting. He's going to go for all of the fourth downs.
Normally, like that's, yes.
If a Dan Campbell just get it out of your system game. I want you to make every ridiculous decision in this game that you feel like you left on the table in the games before.
A Madden game. Yeah, or just run every fake.
Like, creative outlet.
So much of the fourth downs and the special teams fakes and everything else has been cute and clever, and it's been celebrated because it's been successful. Tonight is a really unique situation for Dan Campbell that we get to see him attack to try and have his team ready to get the first round bye next week, but they got a game to play tonight. How does he manage that? How does he handle that?
Onside kick, I need this to be Dan Campbell's creative outlet game.
So here's what we're going to do on today's show. Kurt Warner is going to join us at 3 o'clock. Chris Emmett will be in studio with a Bears Hit One Word at 5 o'clock. We are off the air today at 5:45. Also, I feel like there is an opportunity for growth industry inside the football complex, and I want to run that idea by Big Ant Heron because mm-hmm. I think it's a way to win in the margins that most teams have not really deployed, and they should. We're going to start. We'll also talk about Sammy Sosa being the star of the convention.
Sammy.
I think what Rosner said was, I now think that that's what's happening here. Rosner told us when we had him on a week or so ago, he said that he thinks that Sosa got voted into the Cubs Hall of Fame. And now that's why they know that he got voted in. So they're not going to play the game of...
How could he have been eligible to be voted in before he was sort of reinstated into good graces?
Because he was on their ballot.
Well, he was a member of the Cubs.
I think Haw votes, Barry votes, a few other people vote.
Oh, Barry votes?
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't they have kept him off the ballot?
I don't know.
He was on the ballot. I mean...
Like either you're persona non grata, or as we referred to last week, persona au gratin.
Ooh, that sounds delicious.
It really does.
It's my preference. Or you're not.
With extra cheese.
That's a screw up then.
I don't know if it's a screw up.
Intentional.
Hey, maybe there's intent behind it.
He was on the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot.
That's different. The Cubs aren't in charge of that.
But what if they did it on purpose?
It could be.
Let the people tell us how we should react to it.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe that's how it goes.
That's a good non-confrontational way to gain consensus.
So we're going to do that. We're going to talk about our favorite moments from the year so far. It's going to be a fun show. Big Ann is here. Sean is here. Alex is here. What else do we need?
Alex is here monitoring the Iowa game to see how they're scoring all these touchdowns.
How are we going to handle this? Because
this is already tied at 14. Are you okay with all the scoring?
We've got Iowa, Iowa State.
Yeah. Yeah, so
go Cyclones.
I don't even recognize Sean. He shaved his beard off.
Yeah.
I saw my mom this weekend. I can't, like, as she says, look like a ragamuffin.
I think Alex shaved his face because he's a Cyclone. I think that's what happened.
Whoa. Yeah. But he won the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
I've been craving cinnamon roll Pop-Tarts for a while now.
Nonsense with this. Plain strawberry is the only Pop-Tart
I've
had.
It's the only flavor Pop-Tart I've ever had.
It's the only bad opinion that you have.
The focus is on the filling. The icing isn't the special part about the Pop-Tart.
I'm getting sugar from everywhere on a regular Pop-Tart. That's what we want. It's the only thing that you've ever gotten wrong.
Oh, no, I wanted to give Shane Waldron the benefit of the doubt.
But that's okay.
That's fair.
That's not getting it wrong.
Up to a certain point.
I was like encouraged by the hire. I was like, okay, this makes sense.
And then you heard the story about how they don't have a first 15, and you were like, I'm out.
Yeah, that pretty much, that did actually lose
That's reasonable. That's definitely reasonable.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to be like, oh, he doesn't talk good in press conferences. Judge him. No, I'm not that person. You're having an existential crisis over the whole paragraph about the Bears.
That paragraph is everything. It's everything you need to know. It's perfection. Here's the biggest problem. The Bears say they've identified the problem, but instead of taking steps to solve it, are apparently trying to exacerbate it.
Give it an extension.
You're Bears.
I don't know if I've got another one of these in me after 2021. I just don't know.
Another Bear season?
The job search and all of that?
Oh, no. We'll get into it. Tomorrow, we're going to open up folders and everything. Talk about... See?
That face. That might have been your heel turn for Layla.
I'm here for it.
Open up folders.
Open up folders on coaching candidates and whatnot.
That looked like me saying, hey, Jason, we're doing yard work today.
I've got a list.
I don't even know if these guys want to be here.
Now we stumbled upon a topic.
These are just the facts.
I agree. And now we have a whole segment that we just created in 2 seconds.
A lot of the segment is going to be filled with Layla and that face.
That's fine.
Magic of radio.
We're on Twitch too. People can see her. It's fine.
They tried that winning thing so long ago.
For the last time.
Yeah. Feels that way.
People's hearts said no.
Fishy Business was on, whose podcast was it? He was on Chase Daniels' podcast. Hmm. And he like walked everyone through the last 10 years. And he's like, basically, he's like, yeah, and Chase, you remember 2018 and 19, right? And Chase's like, yeah. He's like, all right. And then he just kept going saying, here's why things don't match up. Here's why things don't match up.
That clip went viral.
Yeah. Shout out to Fishy Business.
It was bleak.
I think he's the one who stole Grody from us yesterday, right? Is that what happened? I feel like that's what Grody said.
Grody just said he overslept or something. He just lost track of time.
Grody was making a joke because when Grody and I hosted on Friday, in an adorable move, the kids just raised themselves. And they're not kids. But Hogan Fishbane decided to switch appearance times on our show by themselves.
Really?
Independent of any discussion with us.
All right. I got you.
I was like, oh, that's so adorable.
It's good.
You guys just care and you did it on your own.
It's good.
You didn't even need us.
When we come back, we are going to start the show talking about the derailment of the Bears. This is as simple as it appears. Big Ant and I will go through that after Sean's Open. That's next on The Score.